דקה, זקה, עברת בי כמו תפילה, דימה טובה, נושקת בי את יופייך, עצוב ומאושר. לא 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 לא.
הלו, and welcome to the Impassioned Marriage Podcast. I am David Feldman, your host, and today is episode 15, How to Handle Disappointment in Your Relationships. We have all been there. You know, that uncomfortable place where we feel strongly that we need something in our life and in our relationships, and yet we realize that we are just not going to get what we want. This is a very difficult place to be, but it happens to everybody, and it happens in all areas of life. But none is perhaps as painful as it when it occurs between you and your love, you and your partner, when you experience disappointment in your relationship. Not getting what you want, or in some cases, even what you need, is usually accompanied by an avalanche of dirty pain. Negative messages you tell yourself that highlight your sob story. Thoughts of not being worthy, loved, cared for, valued by your partner burst to life in your head and in your heart. How sad. Oftentimes, we can just shrug our shoulders and move on. Isn't life full of disappointments anyway? Other times, however, depending on what it is, our disappointment feeds upon our psyche like a hive of termites, eating away at our inner peace and ultimately affecting our relationship. And sometimes the grip on our needs is so intense that we may even give the ultimatum, my way or the highway. None of these reactions, especially the last, are expressions of our best self, nor are they emotionally healthy. All of them keep you in slave mode to both your own inner demons and your partner's willingness to please. This is a foundational issue that I deal with men in particular all the time. Because when we feel disappointment, we take it so personally and we make it into something about us. And when we do that, we essentially are handing over the keys to our castle to our partner. When our partner does something that we like, we experience happiness and pleasure. And when they do something that we don't like, or when they don't show up for us in a way that we feel that we need, we experience pain and disappointment. Essentially, we are putting our heart into our partner's hands to do with as they please. And although everybody has goodwill and everybody is doing their best, nonetheless, this is a very difficult place for a person to be because it inspires and it suggests and it feels like a loss of control. The issues that come up can be many and they can be very serious in many cases. Perhaps you and your partner had agreed that after you had a baby, she was going to stay home and be a stay-at-home mom. But then, slowly after the baby's born, she wants to go back to work and put the baby in childcare. Perhaps you didn't grow up in such a home, or perhaps you have a foundational or fundamental disagreement with doing this. But nonetheless, there you are. She is determined to go back to work. Or it could be exactly the opposite. You anticipated her going back to work after she had a baby, and she chooses to decide to stay at home and raise the child herself, putting all the financial burden on your shoulders. What are you going to do? This could be very disappointing to you and very upsetting. How are you going to show up? And perhaps if you are the wife in this situation, perhaps in the beginning of your relationship, your partner was very connecting and loving and affectionate, but over time, he's distanced himself And no matter how you've said it, no matter what you've done, no matter how many love language books you've read, it's become apparent to you that he's never going to be the Romeo that he once was. And it's just going to be something that you're missing out for the foreseeable future. Who do you become during this time? How do you react? Do you make it all about you? That this is something he's doing or she's doing to hurt you? Or is it because they don't respect you or they don't love you? Do you take it personally? Do you feel as if your world is caving in and you have no options other than to say, hey, either you change your behavior or I'm out of here? When we show up in that way, in that demanding way, or in that hurt way, essentially we are showing up with a small view of what it means to be in a long-term committed relationship. We're pathologizing our partner and at the same time limiting our options. So when you're ready, we can actually reverse it. We can reverse this situation, this corner that you've put yourself in, by turning my way or the highway into my way or the high way, meaning either you do it my way or I'm going to take the higher way. Rather than giving your partner the ultimatum to do your bidding or take a hike, you can take the higher road and point your fingers towards yourself instead. So what does this mean? Since this is not your fault, how do we point our fingers towards ourselves? Well, the most important aspect of pointing your fingers inward and taking a look inwards is learning to let go. One of the most powerful steps in finding true freedom in your relationship is to become very adept at the art of letting go. Not getting what you want or what you need is an incredible opportunity to reevaluate your priorities, learn to be grateful for what you do have, and move on from definitions that imprison you. Letting go also frees your partner to be who they need to be right now, without feeling pressure from you to show up in a certain way. And when you do this, oftentimes, once you give your partner the space they need, in many circumstances, they will come around and you will be surprised at how often you can meet in a very comfortable place together. This practice is so foundational that it is a basic step in my personal freedom methodology. The first step, self-compassion. If you are experiencing anger, shame, anxiety, or frustration over something, give yourself the gift of fully feeling that emotion. You are human and will have bad days, negative thoughts, and painful emotions. Embrace them fully for the time being. Allowing yourself to experience your emotional reaction empowers you to understand it and ultimately to move beyond it. Conversely, suppressing your emotions is like packing a rotten sandwich away for a rainy day. It just gets worse with time. Number two, question yourself. Do I really need this? What would happen to me if I never got what I wanted? Who would I be? What would my life look like? Oftentimes, a perceived need chases you around for years, if not decades, controlling you. What would happen if you let it go and kicked it out of your life for good? How great would you feel to just let go of that thing that you are telling yourself you absolutely must have? Ditching the desires that imprison you often free you up to become a new person, an amazing upgrade that will look back and laugh at the person you used to be. The third step, solutionize. How are you going to handle the new you? What thoughts, attitudes, and behaviors are you going to adopt that can soften the impact of the stress you may feel? What new healthy coping mechanisms can you employ that compensate and reward you for your new positive decision? Letting go of old beliefs, habits, and needs can be difficult. Having a healthy replacement is key in strengthening your new attitude. So for instance, if you're in a relationship where, let's just say, intimacy has declined and you're upset and you're taking it personally, the first thing you can do is have some self-compassion. Yeah, that sucks. Yeah, you used to have a great love life with this person and now it's just okay. If that's very upsetting and I'm upset about that. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I'm not getting what I need and that really sucks. I'm sad about that. So I'm going to feel those feelings and embrace the emotions that come up for me. But then I'm going to move on to step two. Do I really need this? Is it really as bad as what I'm saying? What if I never got that higher level of intimacy? Or what if my wife never went back to work? Or what if my husband never made as much money as I thought he could make at some point? Who would I be? Could I be happy with what I currently have? Am I grateful for what currently exists? Is there a way I can turn this story around? When you question yourself and you question your thoughts, oftentimes you'll find that it's nowhere near as bad as what you think, and actually there are always some positives to the other side of the coin. And when you learn to embrace those positives, you open yourself up to become a brand new person. And at the same time, you let go of those needs and thoughts and desires and wants that are imprisoning you. The third step, solutionize. Okay, so let's just say he's not going to make as much money as I thought, or she's not going back to work, or she is going back to work after we've had a baby, and you know she's not going to be a stay-at-home mom, or we're not going to be intimate as much as we used to in the past. What's going to be? What attitudes and behaviors are you going to adopt that can soften this impact and this stress? Maybe I'll learn how to budget more. Maybe we can start putting away some money slowly to build us up a nest egg. Or maybe we can move to a place that's not nearly as expensive. Or we can find somebody that we care about. Maybe an in-law or a grandmother can take care of the baby. Or vice versa. Maybe we could look at how she's going back to work and how that's going to help us to buy this new house that we're looking for and really move into a neighborhood with better schools. Well, let's just say the issue is an issue of intimacy and it's not as much there. Okay, so maybe we could take that opportunity to focus on yourself. Maybe you can take up a new hobby or a new exercise routine or make new friends and spend more time with friends. Learn to build a better you in the absence of connection in your relationship if that's what the issue is. There are always ways to solutionize and to turn around our life when we're not getting what we want and when we can question it and say, you know what? If I was able to be this type of person, my life is going to be pretty good. And number four, the bonus step is faith. For those of you who are inclined, a wonderful and important step in letting go is faith. Believing in the kindness of a higher power and the perfection of the universe, and that all that comes to you is ultimately for your good, helps tremendously in loosening our tight grip on our own reality. When we let go of our assumptions and grip and our hold on what we think the world should be and what we think is fair, we give ourselves the opportunity to slide into a reality and a better understanding and a better approach towards our life, which almost always ends up creating a better situation for ourselves. This pivotal approach helps turn the corner from being a victim to survivor and even a thriver. Getting what we want in life will always be our first choice, but that isn't always realistic, nor is it always beneficial. They say, be careful for what you wish for it may come true. The choice of my way or going the higher way is always in front of you. Which path are you going to take? Thank you for joining me on another episode of the Impassioned Marriage Podcast. If you like this podcast, please subscribe, share. Additionally, you can follow me on Twitter at David Feldman, or come to my website to see many articles on relationships and marriage at www.davidfeldman.com. There you can sign up for my email list, where you will be notified first of new episodes, as well as new blog posts and any other programs that we have offered. God bless and have a great week. Daka, zaka, avarta bi kmo tfila, dima tova, nosheket bit yofyecha, atzuv meushav, la 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 la